Hey, God bless you guys. Good morning. I hope you're doing well. I'm praying for you guys. Lisa and I think about you every day. We're communicating with a lot of you who are excited to get back to church, and that's coming soon. And we'll have more details about some exciting things that we're going to be doing to build up to our larger gatherings again. But I want to hop in today and begin a brand new message series that I'm pretty excited about. I'm excited because I hope it's going to bring some relief and some change to the condition of our souls, because I have a feeling our souls are taking a real beating during this time. And that can be problematic, because we really need our souls, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our relationship with each other and our relationship with God to be really strong during times when all that's being tested. Because if you're like me, you're pretty unhappy with the condition of our world, the circumstances that we find ourselves in. But as I was growing up as a child, I found that when I was in sort of a difficult moment, at least a personal difficult moment, I didn't like something that was going on, my parents would frequently say, well, this is how it is, like it or not. And if I was going to a restaurant or had to go to a family thing, or we had to do something, or I was maybe made to do a chore I didn't want to do or didn't think I should be doing, it was, well, this is how it is, like it or not. You're going to do it whether you like it or not. And we're sort of in a season where we're going to have to learn how to do life in the right way, whether we like it or not. These are our circumstances. And I think I'm like you, that I don't like most of them. I don't really think that this is the best time of our lives. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks this is the best time of our lives, but we're going to have to learn to do things the right way, whether we like it or not, the circumstances that surround us. Another thing that used to happen a lot as a child for me was I loved Sunday morning cartoon or Saturday morning cartoons. And if you're a little bit older like I am in your mid-30s, then you know that cartoons weren't on the Cartoon Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You had to get up on a weekend day, on a Saturday, and you had to get up early in your pajamas, and you go down and grab a bowl of cereal, pour some milk in, grab your spoon, go sit down on the couch, and turn on cartoons. And Saturday morning was just full of cartoons. And my absolute favorite were Looney Tunes cartoons. And Looney Tunes were the absolute best. As a matter of fact, I still love Looney Tunes so much that about, oh man, like a year ago, I searched and searched the internet, and I found a collector's edition DVD set of every single Looney Tunes cartoon there is. And I have sat with my own boys, and we have just laughed until we cried watching Looney Tunes cartoons. Well, there's a Looney Tunes cartoon that maybe you guys have seen, and it's the three little pigs, and they're, of course, in their houses, and Looney Tunes does kind of a very liberal interpretation of the story, but it was one of my favorites because, and it pretty much gets the story right. As you remember, the wolf comes to the house of the first little pig, and he says, little pig, let me in, and the pig says, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And then he says, well, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. And he does exactly that on the first pig's house and on the second pig's house. And he eats them both in the original story, because the first pig had built his house out of straw and the second pig had built his house out of sticks. And it wasn't until the wolf got to the third house that he huffed and he puffed and he blew and he blew and he blew and he blew, but he exhausted himself and he was unable to get to the third pig. Because why? Of course, as you know, the story is that the third little pig had built his house out of bricks. Okay, so you're wondering why I'm telling you all that. Well, here's the reality of that story. Here's the moral of the story. Because if you didn't know this, children's fables back in like the 1700s and 1800s weren't really meant to entertain kids. They were meant to use a story to teach an important principle. And this principle was, we need to prepare you for the hardships and the difficulties that life is going to bring you. And you're going to succeed based on your preparedness. And if you've prepared yourself with sort of shoddy materials and shoddy craftsmanship and what you've built your life around, then you are going to fail miserably and life is going to get you and you're going to collapse under the pressure of life's hardships. And we all know back in those times that life was pretty tough. Well, it sort of feels like we're in that season right now. Life is pretty tough for us. And the question is, have you prepared yourself? Has the difficulty that we find ourselves, has the chaos that's surrounding us, has it gotten to you? Ask yourself that question, has this all gotten to me? And if you're being honest, the answer is probably yes. It's probably gotten to you in more than one way. It's affected you emotionally and mentally. Maybe there's some relationship strains right now. Maybe there's some financial strains. There's a lot of ways in which this chaos has gotten to us. And I want to define chaos, by the way. Chaos is a state of utter confusion or disorder, a total lack of organization or order. And I kind of feel like if you look around at government and the economy and jobs and health and the medical industry and the news, it is just full of confusion, full of disorder, and it completely lacks order. And so it would appear as if the opposite of chaos is order. And I love the way Macmillan's Dictionary defines it. Macmillan's Dictionary says that order is the way in which a set of things, listen, this is good, is arranged or done so that it is clear which thing is first, second, third, and so on. In other words, order is getting your priorities right. It's making sure that you understand clearly what comes first, then what comes after that, and then what comes after that. And if you ask yourself this question, have I responded to everything that's happened and immediately known what I was supposed to do, how I was supposed to react, which things came first, which things came next, then you probably don't need this series. But most of us have been affected by this in one way or the other. And so we're going to spend some time together, hopefully, building a brick house instead of getting devoured by the wolf of chaos. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend today doing a little introduction, and then we're going to spend the next few weeks doing some good building. So chaos is the storm that will expose. Chaos is the storm that will expose that I am either building my future with, number one, the fragile straws and sticks of emotional reactions. Chaos is the storm that will expose that I'm either building my future with the fragile straws and sticks of emotional reactions. So I'm going to give you some permission here, and I'm going to let you off the hook a little bit. Emotions in and of themselves are not weakness. God created us with emotions. So just because every time you experience an emotional reaction, and you have a wide range of emotional reactions, especially in a kind of a world and a situation like we find ourselves in right now, it doesn't mean that your life is going to collapse because you've had an emotional response. We're going to respond emotionally. The question is, how much of your emotion is controlling the substance of how you act and how you respond and what you do? Listen, emotion is sort of the color of our relationships and our life's experiences and our perceptions. Think of emotion as the paint we put on the walls of our house. Like, you have a house and you go into each room and you want that room to have a certain feel and a certain personality. And we're getting ready to paint our youngest son's room. And a lot of thought has to go into that because you're going to live with that color for a long time. And it has to complement the furniture. And so think of emotion as the paint that you put on the walls of your house. Now, here's the important thing I need you to hear. You can't build your house out of paint. Your house has to be built with something with more substance. And that's why the Bible warns us over and over and over again that you and I cannot build our lives around emotion, that we will crumble under big emotional reactions. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 29:11. You can recognize fools by the way they give full vent to their rage and let their words fly, but the wise bite their tongue and hold back all that they could say. You know what that just says? Is that a fool lets themselves get caught up in their emotions. Everything that they are is wrapped up in emotions. And if you look around right now, there are some incredibly angry people. We were on Facebook Live before I left the house and saw this live demonstration downtown. And people are angry. Man, they're just vocal and they're angry, and people are living from emotion to emotions. But God literally commands us, listen, God literally commands us to use wisdom instead of emotion to build our life. Listen to what Joshua 1:9 says. Remember, I commanded you to be strong. And listen, strength is something that maybe physically we are, but it says be strong and be brave. Brave is an emotional reaction. Don't be afraid. God says it as if we have a choice. Be brave. Don't be afraid, because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You and I have to get out of the habit of letting our emotions dictate our lives, because that straw and sticks and chaos will blow it down every time. Number two is this. Chaos is the storm that will expose that I'm either building my life with the strong and lasting bricks of an ordered life. So it's going to expose whether you're building with straw and sticks or whether you're building with the lasting bricks of an ordered life. So here's a question. If you knew 5 years ago that this day would come, that this pandemic would have the effect on our world that it's had, would you do things differently? And what would you do differently? And of course, your mind's spinning already. You're saying, well, number one, I would have bought stock in a lot of companies that I've seen really, really busy and taking off and doing very well in this. And I would have dumped a bunch of stock in companies that are tanking right now. And I would have invested and had a bunch of medical mask or hand sanitizer or soap, or you know what? I would have started a toilet paper company because I'd be a billionaire at this point. Or I would have maybe saved up a lot of money, or I would have gotten a job that's considered essential, or I would have maybe invested more in my spiritual health because this has really rocked my spiritual life, and I should have been praying more, and I should have been reading God's word more, and I should have been connecting with people whose faith was stronger than me. So listen, if you had known back then what was going to happen now and you had done nothing to prepare, that would make you a fool, right? Make me a fool too. If we knew this was coming and we hadn't have been prepared, that just means that we were lazy and foolish. But a wise person would have prepared for this moment, right? And you say, yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. Listen to what Proverbs 22 verse 3 says. A prudent person, a wise person, other translations will say, with insight foresees danger coming and prepares himself for it. Now, I put some brackets there because this is what it translates to really mean. Wise people solve problems before they happen, but the senseless rush blindly forward and suffer the consequences. So let me read that real quick again. A prudent person with insight foresees danger coming and prepares himself for it. Wise people solve problems before they even happen, but the senseless, the stupid, rush blindly forward and suffer consequences. And you think, well, okay, I got it. But I don't have a crystal ball. How could I possibly have known this kind of trouble would be coming? It would be nice, but we're incapable of knowing that. Except for the fact that we can know it. And here's how I know that. Because God gives us foresight in Scripture. He tells us there absolutely will be pain. There absolutely will be trouble in your life. There absolutely will be chaos in your life. He doesn't need to give us the specifics of when that time is or what the thing will be, but the reality is God tells us you need to be prepared for chaos coming to your life. Proverbs 6:6-8 gives us God's instruction on what we do when things don't go according to plan. You lazy people, you should watch what the ants do and learn from them. How insulting is it that God says you need to watch these things that don't even really have a brain and don't have a central nervous system, and how they're capable of doing what they do, because you have something to learn from them. Ants have no ruler, no boss, no leader. There's no government leading them. There's no supervisor leading them. The ants just know what to do. But in the summer, ants gather all their food and save it. So winter comes, there's plenty to eat. Somehow ants know to be prepared. And God tells us that you and I need to be prepared for moments like this. Now, I can already tell that some of you might be saying, listen, I don't think my reaction is the problem here. I think it's the government's reaction. I think it's people's reaction. And I think that people are not taking it seriously enough, or I think people aren't taking it seriously enough. I think the government's overreacting. I think the government should do more. We have this emotional response to it. But the question is, what have you and I done to build our house to prepare for the wolf of chaos, the storm that comes and tests the integrity of how well we've prepared our lives? And I'm not talking about hoarding toilet paper and getting extra jars of peanut butter. I'm talking about you and I practicing the wisdom and the discipline that makes us ready for anything that comes our way. And that's what we're going to spend the next few weeks taking on, is using the materials of that God gives us in His Word to prepare our life for moments like this and anything else that comes along. So I'm going to pray for you guys right now, and maybe God's dealing with your heart about getting some things right. And so let's pray together. You can use my words as your own, or you can pray whatever God's putting in your heart. Father, thank you for our loving people who are hurting right now. They're reacting right now. God, we are, I mean, I've heard people say we're in this together, but that's not really true. There's companies that are using it as slogans, and there's people that are kind of writing it on signs, but I don't really know that that's true. There are only a few select people that we could look at in our lives and say we're truly in this together. And I think that our Summit community, this faith community, is one of the few relationships in my world that I'd say, yeah, I'm truly in this with them, and they're truly in this with me. And God, I'm hoping that together we can learn to build not just a community full of stable bricks that we protect ourselves as a community, but in individual homes and in individual lives, there's a intentionality and a strategy to stand up against these storms by building order in our soul, so that we know what comes first, and then what comes next, and then what comes after that, so that when anything comes to our door threatening that stability, when the chaos blows the wind and the storm and the rain around us, we're ready to react, because it's just the same game plan we've been practicing every day of our life, because we have our souls ordered. And that's my prayer for every single one of us. I'm believing for good things, God. Whether we're allowed to gather or not, that doesn't keep us from growing, prospering, flourishing, and becoming healthier as a church together. So I'm so thankful for what you're doing in us and through us during this season. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.